How many of y'all have done worried or anxious so much that it made you sick physically?
Amen.
Even after we become Christians, guess what? We're still not exempt from that, are we? We still walk around in flesh. Amen. We still get anxious about stuff. We still let stuff tear us up from the floor up. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about today. Title of today's message is Heal My Anxious Mind. I don't know about you, but I got an anxious mind a lot. Even though I know I'm not supposed to let it happen, I'm supposed to turn it over to our wonderful God and let Him take care of it. It tells us in the Word that's what we're going to cover, that's what we need to do. But guess what? I am still human. I still got some carnal in me. Amen. Until we get to heaven, we're still going to struggle with earthly things, aren't we? But I hear a story of a young pastor. He's feeling unusually anxious when he gets up in front of the congregation. He's feeling afraid. How many of y'all ever felt afraid to speak what's in your mouth and in your heart and in your soul? Amen. He's feeling weighted down. Anxiousness makes us heavy in our soul, in our burdensome. Don't it? It weighs us down. Makes us overwhelmingly uneasy. And it's often hard to lead or do anything when we are beaten down and burdened down by our anxious mind, our anxious thoughts. Amen. The world will look at us and say, hey, you guys are Christians. You shouldn't have anxiety. But again, guess what? We're still human. Amen. So even though we're Christians, we still going to deal with that anxiety anyway. And the world tells us what? Oh, well, if you believe in that so much, you shouldn't be worried about it. Just give it to God. Amen. Just turn it over to God. And you won't be anxious. There's still that human side of us that holds on to it, ain't it? Sometimes when we come to the altar, pray for problems and issues that we're dealing with, what happens when we get up from the altar? We pick it back up. We take part of it back with us, don't we? Same thing with anxiousness. Even though we're saved, even though we turn it over to God, we still got that human side of us that goes, maybe I'll just take a little bit of that back with me. Because we got to have something to complain about, right? We got to have something to worry about. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. A lot of them will quote this quote for us. This scripture. Philippians 4:4 says what? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for about anything. Anything. That's what the Word says, ain't it? And we know that. Some of us know that scripture by heart, in our mind and soul, and we still get anxious, don't we? We still let Satan beat us down sometimes. We get deflated. We get hurt. We get angry, don't we? But it is the living state of being anxious or not being anxious about anything. Is it possible? Is it possible for us to live an anxious-free life? It is, but it's still difficult, isn't it? It's still difficult for us to do. Because what happens? We roll out of church. We're pumped up. I ain't got no anxiety. I give it to God on the altar today. Or in my seat while I was sitting there. Or online watching. And then what happens? As soon as we roll out the front door of the church, we start thinking about stuff that's going on in our lives. It makes us worried. It makes us anxious. We think about bills that we got to pay. We think about kids that we got to raise. Some of us think about grandkids that we got to raise. Amen. We think about relational issues. We think about health challenges. We think about job stress. Right now, in our economy, we think about inflation, don't we? We worry about that. We get anxious about it. Well, nowadays, even a gallon of milk is crazily expensive. So as soon as Satan can hit us with our little button, our little panic button for anxiousness, no matter what we've done at church, we still go back into that panic, don't we? We still go back into living an anxious life and an anxious soul. If you say, there's plenty for us to be anxious about, guess what? You ain't alone. Amen? Because there is plenty for people to be anxious about. We're not alone. In 2019, two out of three Americans said they were anxious or extremely anxious. And then what happened? The stupid pandemic hit, didn't it? The pandemic hit. It's gotten a lot worse, isn't it? Younger generations have it even worse than what we do. 91% of the high school and college students report consistent and significant levels of anxiety associated with stress of their everyday lives. We live complex lives, don't we? All of us are at different points on the anxiety spectrum. Some of us have it occasional. Some of us have a little bit of uneasiness about it. Some of us have severe discomfort about it. Some of us are just in all-out stress mode, aren't we? We're all-out stress mode about the anxiousness and anxiety in our lives. Some of our students, our college students, are worried about tests, worried about presentations that they got to go through. They got to worry about social situations, especially now, all the social media stuff going on. You're talking about, we didn't have to worry about that, did we? When we were growing up, that was one less anxiety stressor that we had. But right now, our kids are going through that. Their high school and our college students are going through that. They're having test anxiety. I don't know about you, but when I went to school, man, I love studying. But I had test anxiety. I could make straight A's until I did the test. And I was like, ooh. I'm like, what happened? I'm like, I know all that stuff. And every time I'd come up, it'd be like, ugh, it starts sweating. It's like, oh man, I can't figure out that answer. And know it 100% because I studied the night before and got it right. It's just stress anxiety, text anxiety. Those things still happen, don't they? Others, though, that we know, are suffering with crushing and debilitating dread, shortness of breath, high heart rates. They feel like their walls are closing in on them. They can't function in a normal capacity. Amen. But God cares for us. All of us that are going through those situations, God cares about you. Amen. And guess what else? Not only does God care, but God wants to help us. God wants to help us through our problems. He wants to heal our anxious minds. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you today, Lord, for getting Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit move, guide, and direct my words, Lord. Lord, may they be your words and not mine. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to the message that you have for us, Lord. Lord, may you help us by the end of the day to be a little bit less anxious in our mind, Lord. Lord, a little bit better to deal with whatever Satan tries to throw our way, Lord, when we go out those doors. Lord, we ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. We got a powerful example for us today of dealing with anxiety. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of Judah, which is in the southern kingdom of Israel. He was one of their best kings. He was faithful, following God. But Judah had enemies, didn't it? The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Midianites, the Moabites, and the three nations teamed up and attacked Judah. Think about that. I'm sure in his mind that was way, way, way too much to bear. Too much anxiety going on. Amen. Think about that. When we think about problems that we got going on now, we might have multiple problems with our bosses. We might have a car breaking down. Our finances are probably tight right now, as we talked about. We might be having marriage problems. No time to take carbs and diets and donuts. We got to get young, or we got to get used to it, what we're living through right now. The young ones, which should be some of our most educated, have lost a clear path, haven't they? They're postponing issues and not being able to put stressors behind them. And to make matters worse, well-meaning Christians give life to their thing, their issues that they shouldn't. Touch on just a couple points here. First one is this. Anxiety isn't a sin. Anxiety isn't a sin. Think about that. Jesus in the garden, suffering in agony and anxiety. He turned the other way, didn't he? He didn't let it stress him. He didn't fall into that sin. Anxiety isn't a sin. But it is a symptom. It is a signal. Amen? It's kind of like a red light on the back side of a car. What's that mean? It means it's stopping, braking, trying to stop, trying to turn, right? Anxiety is a sin. That we've got some problems going on in our lives, in our minds. Amen? But anxiety is not a sin, but it's a signal alerting to us. It's alerting to us. And when it does, guess what time it is? It's time to pray. Sorry about that. It's time to pray. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, in the NLT version, it says, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. In 2 Chronicles 26 and 9, NIV version says this. Lord, the God of our ancestors, you are not the God who is in heaven. You rule over all kingdoms and all nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before his temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress. And what? You will hear us and save us. Ooh, think about that. We got a God in heaven that wants us to cry out in our stress when we're suffering issues, especially like anxiety. He wants to hear from us, but a lot of us turn it away, don't we? We don't want to tell nobody because we're ashamed of it. But God says, don't worry about it. He says, I got you. Cry out, and I'll hear you, and I'll save you from whatever issue you're having. Lord God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Help. Help. He'll hear the cries of our heart and he'll save us. A quote from Dr. Caroline Leaf from Switch On Your Brain says this. She is a communicating pathologist in cognitive neuroscience on the master's and PhD in communication pathology. But she says, shoot straight. Shoot straight. She says, it has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. I'm going to repeat that. Dr. Caroline Leaf says, it has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. Not only does prayer touch the heart of God, but prayer changes the chemistries in our brains. It changes our focus. That's exciting, ain't it? That God can change the chemistry inside of our brains by just praying. If the brain's not fixed, it's not fixed, is it? But it changes. It changes. When something goes wrong, we got something that will sound an alarm at that point, don't we? Because we've prayed it, we've changed our situations. When a problem starts, we won't dwell on the alarm. The word most often used for anxiety in the Bible, and I may not pronounce this right, is merino. Merino. M-E-R-I-N-O. Which means dwelling or pondering on fearful and anxious thoughts. Dwelling or pondering on fearful or anxious thoughts. Meditating on the negative, in other words. Training your brain is training your brain to be anxious. How many of y'all meditate on negative thoughts? I know I still do. It's natural to think on what could go wrong, isn't it? It's natural for our human side to think on what can go wrong. But prayer breaks that cycle. Prayer breaks those negative thinkings. 2 Chronicles 20:12 says, "For we have no power to face the vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you." Our eyes are on God. Amen. We're looking to you, trusting you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Sorry about that. 1 Peter 5:7 again. "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." God cares. Y'all hear that? God cares. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. If it's big enough for us to worry about, it's big enough for us to pray about to Him. Amen? It's not a sin. Again, it's not a sin. It's a signal inviting each one of us to cry out to the God that saves us. And not living in the wallow that we have been. Amen. So we pray. Then what? Like me. We pray. We give it to God. Then what? We take it back, don't we? We talked about it a little bit earlier. We take it back. But again, anxiety is a signal that it's time for us to pray. And also, it's time for us to pause. Look at what Jehoshaphat did after the prayers. 2 Chronicles 20:12 and 13 says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord." They stood there. They paused. They put their eyes on God. Amen. Don't just stand there. Don't just stand there like Satan would tell you to do. Do something. Put our eyes on God. Don't just do something. Stand there and put our eyes on God. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. If we don't do anything, God will never heal our anxiety, will we? He possibly could, but if we don't bring it up as a problem, He's not going to help and deal with it in an expedient manner that we might need it. We won't get that supernatural healing that we feel if we pray it, and then He heals it. While they waited, what happened? While they waited upon Him, while they stood there with their eyes on Him, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehazel and said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, because this is a vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Go out to face them tomorrow. And what? The Lord will be with you." Anytime we need to go out in the battle, the Lord is with us. Amen. Do not be afraid. The battle is the Lord's. We can face it. And when we do, He'll be with us, won't He? But again, anxiety is not a sin. It's a signal alerting us that it's a time to pray. It's a time to pause. And the third thing is this. It's a time to praise. Amen. Jehoshaphat prayed. He paused. He praised. He sent worshipers ahead of the army. And though not like WWE, like John Cena, The Rock, Vin Diesel, all them guys. He sent worshipers. Worshipers. More like Matt Redman, Chris Tomlin, Kerry Joe. The enemy armies, what happened? When they sent the worshipers ahead of the army, the enemy armies turned, didn't they? They destroyed themselves. Not just a few of them, but all of them. Amen. They didn't just praise after victory, did they? They praised before. So when we got it easy, when our enemies are dead, we got to praise God from whom all dead bodies flow. We got to praise God before our blessing. We got to praise God before our provision. We got to praise God before our anxiety is gone. 2 Chronicles 29:30 says, "The fear of God came upon all surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side." Rest on every side. Remember when we were talking last week about having a breakdown in our mental situations? We had to pray, pause, and praise. This week, again, pray, pause, and praise. God has given me rest from every side that I've been fighting. How I fight my battles might look like I'm surrounded, but I ain't. I'm surrounded by God. So when we have issues that come up, we can call on Him promptly. Amen. And He will come before the battle and lay out those dead bodies for us. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world." So again, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the battle is not ours, but God's. Amen. The Lord will be with you. So praise, pause. Or pray, pause, and praise. Let's close with this scripture. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard you, your heart, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." As we come for our final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you, Lord, for your word spoken, Lord, and not mine, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Holy Spirit getting Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Lord, I ask that you impress upon each one of our hearts today, Lord. Lord, that if we're dealing with an anxiety today, Lord, that we know that that's not from you, Jesus. Lord, that's one way of Satan trying to battle us and destroy our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, just to put a presence in each one of our hearts, Lord, and our soul, Lord, to know that no matter what we're going through, no matter what type of anxiety that we might be dealing with, Lord, Lord, whether it be something in the household, Lord, something financial, Lord, or something spiritual, Lord, remind us that we're not alone in that battle, Lord. Lord, that we might pray to you right now, Lord. Lord, that we would get released from that today, Jesus. And Lord, we would get a testimony of praise, Lord, when we pray and pause and praise, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. I ask you to put somebody in front of us this week. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.